Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Good morning. You're listening to WILL AM 580. Stay tuned. International news from the BBC World Service is coming up at 9 o'clock. But first, with the pre-opening market report, here's Dave Dickey.
Thank you, Chris. And good Thursday morning, everyone. The Labor Department today says that prices for goods imported into the U.S. fell last month, largely because oil costs retreated. Overall prices of imported goods decreased 0.5% from February. The February import price gain was revised down to a 0.6% increase from an initially estimated 1.1% jump. March prices for petroleum imports declined 1.9% and are down more than 10% from a year earlier. The Energy Information Administration says that it expects pump prices during the summer travel season to be lower than a year ago. This morning, USDA released its latest export sales report for the week ending April 4th. The numbers look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 9.7, next year, 2.8. Corn this year, 7.3, next year, 11.4. Soybeans this year, 11.7, next year, 2.4. Also this morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 360,000 metric tons of soft red winter wheat for delivery to China during the 2013-14 marketing year. The marketing year for wheat began on June the 1st. A couple more wheat export pieces of information also. Japan today purchased 120,108 metric tons of milling wheat in five grades for bulk shipment. Just over 75,000 metric tons will come from the U.S. And the Taiwan Flour Mills Association today purchased two cargoes of U.S. wheat, totaling 83,980 metric tons from a number of global trading partners. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 14,807, is up almost 5.5 points. The NASDAQ, 3,294, is down about 3. And the S&P 500 is 1,589, and it is up almost 2 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Some corn planting continued in the lower eastern parts of the Midwest yesterday, as well as in a portion of the Delta in the southeastern states, but things changed overnight as showers and thunderstorms began to march across the heart of the Midwest and pass through the Delta and now en route to the southeastern states. Many of these areas will see a disruption to field work, and some of the rainfall that occurred overnight last night in the lower Mississippi River Basin was great enough to set back field work for an extra day because the rains were a little bit more than anticipated. We will expect to see additional waves of precipitation moving across a big part of the Midwest on a periodic basis as we move forward through these next several days. In fact, a good week's worth of continued frequent precipitation will likely occur. We're not done with this current storm system, though. Snow is already going to fall rather significantly across portions of Minnesota and the eastern sections of the Dakotas today. We'll expect snow accumulations running anywhere from 3 to 9 inches, and there'll be some locally greater potential in a few spots. We will anticipate the entire snow event to wind down as we go through the day tomorrow, but it will be a slow process. The upper level low is not in a hurry to abate from the region. Most of the heart of the eastern Midwest will likely see drier conditions occur as we move forward through the day. The line of storms this morning working its way through Ohio and parts of Kentucky and southeastern Indiana should be eventually getting out of the region completely. That will open the stage for a little bit of drying to occur for a few days, and maybe some farming will likely resume. The general weather pattern here over the coming week is favoring the western and northern portions of the Midwest with frequent bouts of precipitation. We are not done with the cold weather either, so we will see some additional snowfall across parts of the region as we move forward in time. The next storm system that will do just that will be arriving in the northern plains as we move from Saturday into Sunday. This storm system will produce widespread precipitation from the Dakotas into parts of Michigan, but may not produce a great deal of moisture in the lowermost parts of the Midwest, and that's one of the reasons why some fieldwork could still take place in some of those southern areas. Well, a third storm system will likely develop in the central plains as we get into the early to middle part of next week, and that system will likely produce some upslope conditions across portions of Colorado and neighboring states, and that means some heavy snow and some rain may fall in the west central plains. We'll likely see that storm system work its way east-northeastward across the heart of the Midwest as we get out into the latter part of next week. Especially the middle to latter part of the week. We'll expect also to see another shot of cold air coming in behind that event, possibly bring more freezes and some frost into the central U.S. plains, perhaps impacting a part of Texas and Oklahoma for yet another time. We did see frost and freezes this morning across the southern plains, another morning of it, and damage was likely occurring in portions of the region, the Texas Panhandle, western portions of Oklahoma, northwestern in particular, and a fair amount of Kansas far southwest. Likely endured some crop damaging conditions. Assessments of this loss will not likely be fully understood until the harvest is here, but there'll be a lot of speculation over these next few weeks as to how much damage may or may not have occurred. None of that bitter cold air in the plains will work its way into the heart of the Midwest, and so we are not expecting to see soft wheat areas east of the Mississippi River, or for that matter even in Missouri, to end up with any real serious threat of temperatures that would be below the damage threshold. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's go ahead and look and see how the composite trade is doing. Pits are open. May wheat in Kansas City, 736 and a quarter, up 6 1/4. May wheat in Chicago, $7.75, up 4. May corn, 658 and a quarter. Now 58 even, up 9. December, 544 and a half, up 1 1/2. May soybeans, 1401 and a quarter, up 8 1/2. November, 1231 and 3/4, now 1/4, down 5 1/4. May soybean meal, 396.80, now 70, now 90, up $4. May soybean oil, 50.09, up 6 cents. April live cattle, 125.50, up 22 1/2. April feeders, 139.82 and a half, down 67 and a half. And April lean hogs are 81.45, and they are up 22 1/2. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning to you, Dave.
Well, when it was all said and done yesterday, I don't know that the WASDE report has any legs to it in any particular direction. I think we look at weather from now on.
We will focus on weather, and certainly the weather, that cold air that slipped all the way down into Lubbock, Texas, is going to be a concern for some of these wheat growers. In talking with one of my clients in western part of Kansas, he said that the wheat crop in the western part of Kansas and Oklahoma Panhandle, even though they got down to 19 degrees overnight, probably wasn't in such wonderful shape to start with. So losing from a not-so-good crop isn't as a big a factor as when you're losing from an excellent crop.
And the wheat rallying today and the number of exports flying out the door.
Yeah, we want to talk about exports, and I think this sale that USDA reported this morning to China is just part of the larger sale that was reported by the private, so I'm not sure that's a consideration. Notice that the Taiwan buy came from all over the place,
right. And
I think that's what's going to happen. We're going to be writing a lot more optional origin kind of sales.
Turn your attention to corn. Corn rallying sharply in the nearbys.
Yeah, it's all about the bull spreads in here. I did notice that the July now is the more active month compared to May. And, of course, it's up, but it's not up as much as the May. I look for spreads and basis. Both look pretty bullish to continue to see these bull spreads work.
There's one thing that we can finally agree on, no matter who we are, is soybean supplies are tight.
soybean supplies are tight. The new crop is certainly reflective that we'll see, or we could see with wet weather in the Midwest, fewer corn acres and more soybean acres. But these old crop supplies are extremely tight, and we're going to continue to source beans any way we can. And the way we do that is this red hot basis and the bull spreads.
Yesterday with the reports, we didn't talk much about the livestock, but it rallied pretty sharply yesterday.
Well, the livestock market, I thought, should have gotten some real legs because the World Board lowered the U.S. beef production in this calendar year about 25 billion pounds. And that's sizable, and that's down another about 5% from a year ago. Hard break in the cutouts, however. The economy's not as great as what everybody wants to believe it is, because we're just not moving the beef.
Thank you, Ellen. That's Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Moreton, Illinois. Current tick, May corn, 660 and a quarter, up 11 and a quarter. December at 546 and three quarters, up 3 3/4. May beans, 1403 and three quarters, up 11. November, 1234 and a quarter, down 3 1/4. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL, 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana. It's 901 Central Time.